In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a teenager attending Simcoe Composite High School, there were approximately 1,200 students at the time and some extraordinary teachers on staff. One of those teachers was Gord Pennington. Gord taught history. He was a gentle, compassionate, and considerate man. He enjoyed people. He had a tremendous amount of patience, especially for what were, to some of us, well known as the challenging and difficult students. Somehow I knew that phrase well. Joyce will be able to tell you that by the time I reached grade 13, that the principal would come on the announcements and simply say, "Hendry, office." And that was me. I never saw myself as difficult or hard to get along with, but according to many, many, many others, including my loving and sensitive spouse, who knew me well in high school, I was a little difficult. Dr. Gord Pennington was one of those extraordinary educators who understood his students well. There was a student by the name of, let's say, Kevin, who was popular, fun, an athlete, somebody who enjoyed people, everyone enjoyed hanging around with him. There was even a hint, just a hint, that someday there was greatness in his future. He was a grade 11 student surrounded in friends, and one summer afternoon, they all made their way to the quarry to go for a swim. And Kevin dove into the quarry and did not come to the surface. A group of his friends dove in, risking their lives to pull his body from the bottom of the quarry. To everyone's astonishment, he was not dead, but something was seriously wrong. He was taken to the hospital and spent months in recovery. He was a determined spirit, and he returned to school. Mr. Pennington decided that he needed a partner. Somebody that would help him turn the pages of his textbook, make notes for him from the lectures in class, hand him his water bottle. For as you can well imagine, the only moving part of his body was his head. He had a little lever. It was fairly new technology at that point. It could move him forward and backwards, side to side. Mr. Pennington assigned me to be with Kevin. I remember internally mumbling, "What did I do to deserve this? Why me? I'm sure there's somebody else that understands this stuff." Which is exactly what Mr. Pennington knew I was thinking, which is why he assigned me Kevin. I took my arms and legs for granted. I took my mind for granted. I knew there were other people in the world, but I think I was at that age, many of you remember, in your own children and perhaps your grandchildren, where although I was aware there were other people in the world, I really didn't care very much. And Mr. Pennington knew that. And that's why I was assigned Kevin. Kevin was kind of a blunt guy. He would say things like, "Turn the page in the textbook. I need water. I don't like sitting here. Move me up. Turn the page in the textbook. Are you making notes?" It was the time in my life that I began to understand humility. and acts of service. I am forever grateful to Mr. Pennington for gently and lovingly pointing it out to me. You see, it wasn't about notoriety. It wasn't about being well-liked. It wasn't about becoming famous as Kevin's caregiver. It was about humble acts of service. I had never dealt with anybody with a handicap in my life. It was a new awareness. No glory, just service. Glory and fame could be seen as all the rage these days. I can name for you countless movie stars, successful athletes, and even politicians, the who's who of society. I could even make the fatal error of using the pulpit today of discussing the provincial election, which I will not. Pursuit of glory and curiosity about all those who attain it, the ones who get there in society, is as ancient as the human family. We're all curious. We want to all know more. How did they get there, and how could it be us? Is it their hair? Oh, I hope not. Is it their brain? Same thought. Is it their skill? If they're really good at a sport, does that mean they're a good husband or wife? Do we assume they have all talents for all things? Do we constantly question, or do we simply put them on what you've heard me refer to as a pedestal made of cardboard in a typhoon, waiting for it to collapse? You know, you and I often, we want to blame the media. Okay, I understand, they play their part. But even as far back as Jesus' time, they were very attentive to those who rose to glory, a certain recognition in society. Now, here's the hard part. You see, Jesus had such a moment. The Pharisees once said out of Scripture, chapter 12, 19 of our gospel today, the Pharisees said, "Look, the world has gone after him." The Greeks immediately, packed their bags and made their way to have a conversation with Jesus. And it is in this conversation that Jesus radically used a transformational meaning of the word for glory. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Believe me, the disciples and everyone around him was not excited about this new concept for Jesus, about their world. What do you mean dies? What do you mean dies? How is that part of the definition of glory? What do you mean dies? Yes, indeed, even Jesus' disciples struggled. Peter had a really rough time with the concept. Understanding how to honor Jesus and Jesus' understanding of how God is glorified through the humble and sacrificial action of the life and death of Jesus Christ. When the people of Jesus' time looked around and they saw what they understood to be glory, it was all about the Roman Empire. They're the people with the money and the power, the nice houses and lots of money, all kinds of influence. That's how they understood the definition of glory of the time. And if we look at the dictionary definitions of glory, they, of course, include exalted and honor and praise and distinction. Here's the point. Christ's transformed understanding of glory is not reflected in the dictionary. The world outside of the church walls have not necessarily fully comprehended Jesus' transformational definition of the word glory. Why? Because not so many of us are excited about the possibility of sacrificial action, humble, sacrificial action. So here's a big question. How can ordinary people grasp the transformation of glory through the life and death of Jesus Christ? Not through argument, for sure. As I've mentioned to you before, I have a degree in philosophy, and I left that degree much more confused than when I went in. I remember my last day of class. It went a little like this. Oh my goodness, may not have been the word. I am about to fail another exam. Not through argument can we persuade people. So Jesus does something extraordinary. Are you ready? We'll all get this. This is what he does. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Now hold on. You know, one word can make all the difference, right? The word should. Here's an interesting question and great, great risk to my future. How many times have you been shoulded on this week? I'm guessing if you've been just about anywhere this week, somebody has shoulded on you. You should. In Leviticus 19, 18, there's a mention of the concept of this love, but it's missing something. It's missing what Jesus declares as the new source that nourishes the love he talks about. The humility of God, as revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, here lies the transformed meaning of glory. The concept of world-renowned is turned into godly compassion for the world. Godly compassion for the world. Now you and I are invited into this humble and sacrificial action in the things that we say and do. Sometimes we are blessed with the person that comes into our life that, realizing our limits, restrictions, or as we love to say to our children these days, growing edges, and helps us to understand this new idea and this new concept. What we're after here is a crystal clear understanding of a connection between the loving action of Jesus and the community loving of one another. Here it is. What if we changed one word? What if we went all the way back to the Greek, the original, and discovered that the word should might be translated in order that? So the commandment becomes, love your neighbor, or in order that you may love your neighbor. In other words, it's not a human function. Now, let me get that clear. It's not a human function. Instead of being shoulded all the time, you're invited to remind yourself through prayer, through meditation, through the reading of Scripture, that God's grace flows through you, giving you the power to love each other. You see, the word should could feel like a moral or order, or rather even an appropriate commandment that's mindless, that's abstract, instead of understanding that it's the gracious action of Christ. Now we go deep, but just for a minute. Are we willing to continue to allow the love of Christ to sink so deep in us, so when it emerges as words or actions, people get a better understanding of Christ's definition of transformed glory? Now, I depend on teachers, but every once in a while, one of them helps themselves to the opportunity. Happened this morning after the 8 o'clock. So Catherine and I are having a conversation. And Catherine comes up to me and she says, so you told the story about the kid in high school, but did you learn anything? I recognized the finger. I'd seen it before. And she's got a point. Let me tell you that I have a really rough time every once in a while trying to articulate, believe this or not, how deep something can go in your life. I took advantage, and I took for granted arms and legs until I met Kevin. And I watched his taken away by an accident. I took for granted a brain that functioned at some level or another until I met Kevin. And I realized that his had been at very least adjusted, if not scrambled, by a simple little accident. So, Catherine, the answer to your question is, it was my first moment of profound and deep humility and intentional sacrificial action for the simple love of another human being, indeed, what we are all invited to this morning. Amen.